The next matter we have this morning, A220603, Danielle Elizabeth Dressel, petitioner respondent, Nathan David Dressel, appellant. So if parties are ready, accounts are ready, you may, when room is available, make your approach. And this is the second of three oral matters that we have today. We also have three non-oral matters. Judges Reyes and Frisch are joining me, Judge Sleater, in the second matter. And counsel, as you saw from the previous matter, we have three podiums. The middle one, the big advantage of that is the light that you have to indicate how much time you have. We do ask counsel to identify yourself for the record and whom you represent when you approach and begin your comments. And other than that, the process is the same, except we get to see each other live, so that's good. So, counsel for appellant, if you are ready, you may approach the podium and proceed.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Kelly McSweeney, and I represent Nathan Dressel, who is the appellant in our appeal and the cross-respondent in the cross-appeal. I will refer to the parties today as father and mother in my argument. Father in this matter is respectfully asking this court to reverse the trial court's order of joint legal custody and temporary physical custody to father to sole legal custody to father and permanent physical custody to father because the trial court's conclusions are not supported by its voluminous findings or the record itself.
Can I just ask for a point of clarification before you continue?
Yes, sir.
We're in an abuse of discretion standard of review. The particular claim that your client is making is that the conclusions are against the logic and facts in the record. Is that right?
Correct, Your
Honor.
Okay,
go ahead. Thank you, counsel, for the clarification.
And at first glance, the facts of this case are very similar to the facts of many other cases in front of this court, in which one of the parents is making continuous accusations of physical and sexual abuse against the other parent that are then found unsubstantiated and harmful to the children. In this particular case, father is asking or requested permanent post-decree sole legal and sole physical custody to himself that would modify the original decree, which was joint legal and joint physical custody.
Counsel, is there, I tried to find a case and I was unable to do so. Is there any case where we or the Supreme Court has found that a district court has abused its discretion because the conclusions are against the logic and facts as were found by the district court?
Well, Your Honor, we believe that this would be a de novo review of the fact that the district court made voluminous findings, 98 findings, in support of sole legal custody.
I thought we were talking about abuse of discretion. We just established that at the beginning.
We did not do a motion for amended findings on this case, and so we are at clearly erroneous, and we are whether or not this is a de novo review or abuse of discretion as to whether or not the court findings support its conclusions.
Okay.
After 7 days of trial over a two-month period, the trial court issued its order finding in part that joint custody arrangement endangered the children. It was in the children's best interest to modify custody. A substantial change in circumstance had occurred since the original decree. The court also concluded that mother had endangered the party's minor children by substantially interfering with father's relationship with the children, and that modification of custody would serve the children's best interests, and that the benefit of the change outweighed the detriment. The court found these over
I'm sorry to interrupt you again. I just want to, I don't disagree with you that the district court's findings are very thoughtful and very thorough. They, in my view, seem to be supported by the record. But there are some findings by the district court that would indicate its rationale for declining to grant your client sole physical custody. And those would be things like in the best interest findings that both parents can adequately address the children's spiritual and medical needs, that father indicated during the proceedings that he did not want to take the children away from mother, that the educational needs could be met. I mean, there are some findings there that would support ostensibly the conclusion that physical custody should be joint. How do you address those?
Thank you, Your Honor. If I may, counsel for mother did provide within briefing some findings that were purporting to be supportive of joint legal custody. We believe that they're either neutral findings or supportive of father. The first is finding number 38, in which counsel argues that because he reminded the court that they both decided to do joint custody, that finding was supportive of joint custody. When actuality, the fact that the parties agreed 2 years ago to joint custody does not in itself support joint custody. And in fact, the very next finding, which is finding number 35, the court says, regardless of the fact that the parties hoped that joint custody would work, both
And just to clarify, you're talking about joint legal custody?
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
That joint legal custody would work. Both evaluators were consistent in finding Mon's behavior would get worse if not addressed. And the court even cited Sharp in finding that an evidence of anticipated adverse effects of a custody arrangement is enough to find endangerment, is enough to change, is enough to modify. And so I believe the other findings that counsel referred to was finding number 81, which he cited as finding 18, but I believe it was 81, saying that, again, that father is capable of making best interests or making decisions in the best interest of the children. What that finding actually said was father was more capable of making decisions in the best interest of the children, which we would find that finding to either be neutral or supportive of sole legal custody to father. The other finding, which the court referred to, was it within the best interest analysis. And within that best interest analysis in finding number 94-1H, it's correct. The court found that both parties can provide for spiritual needs and medical care. But in the very same finding, the court finds mother interfered in the children's education while the children were in father's care. And that is page 24 of the court's order, finding number 94-1B. And regarding medical care, the court found mother was undermining therapy and attempted to remove the therapist and continued to and asked the court to remove the therapist, even though the court found that the therapist that's now in place is one of a handful of therapists in Minnesota that could handle this kind of case.
What do you make of the finding on the bottom of page 27 that both parents are willing and able to provide ongoing care? The parents have different strengths and weaknesses. I mean, when I read that, it does suggest to me that the district court is looking for some sort of a compromise, and by allowing joint legal custody, it's accomplishing that.
I think that the court is quoting from the custody evaluator's report, indicating that there are times when obviously the parents will put the children's needs at the forefront. But because of mom's behavior, including the fact that mom has continually made false accusations against father about physical and sexual abuse, has made posts on social media about father as an abuser, has interfered with their education such that the children had to redo their homework while they were in father's care, and again, interferes and coaches the children through therapy, those are very, very important facts. And
I mean, and all of those, I think, do go to the district court's finding that sole physical custody should be with father, but they don't really pertain to legal custody, decision-making issues with respect to the children.
With all due respect, Your Honor, they pertain directly to physical custody, excuse me, to legal custody.
Legal custody, tell me how.
Because we're talking about therapy, which is medical care. Of the big three of therapy, medical care, education, and religious upbringing, the only thing that the court said that they could actually possibly make joint decisions on is spiritual care. There have been numerous issues with regard to education, and the court has seen within the findings of the trial court that mother actually went into the parent and student portal and changed the children's homework while the children were in father's care. This was an obviously something that mother and father are not able to make joint decisions regarding education. There were several motions regarding school choice. This will, again, we will tee up these parties if they have joint legal custody for another motion for a change in schooling. These kids have changed schooling 3 times already. We need to have stability here regarding education and regarding therapy. Mother has already tried to replace the therapist, a very well-respected and strong therapist in this area, twice. And first, the court has told mother that this is a therapist that's going to stay in place, and within its court order that she's made that determination. However, with a joint custody designation, joint legal custody, excuse me, Your Honor. That's something that they would have to continue to make joint decisions on.
Ms. McSweeney, can I ask you, I'm sorry, if you haven't finished your thought, you can.
No, Your Honor.
I wanted to shift gears a little bit to your argument that the temporary physical custody was an error. And it strikes me an area of the law where we generally give much discretion to a court to fashion its order because the district court knows best the scenario. And it seems like different from the Kennedy case that you pointed out, because here it's a very determinate time period, a 1-year period. I'm trying to understand why or how we would interfere with the district court's otherwise discretionary decision. And I assume, given the order, it would be mother's obligation to show some change of circumstances at that 1-year review based on the court's order.
Well, first of all, the court does not provide that whether or not the mother would need to show any kind of change in circumstance, Your Honor. It's a review, which it could be a best interest review without a change of circumstance. The court is open about that. But
so is that more the error in your mind, not filling in the blanks of what what this review hearing would consist of and who has the burden and what does it mean?
Actually, no, Your Honor. We cited Kennedy, and actually the way that the court has fashioned this in our case is even worse than Kennedy, because the court is teeing them up for another round of litigation. We had a 7-day trial. This was 2 years of litigation, lots of money, lots of turmoil for these children. The courts, well, as Kennedy says, if the record is clearly sufficient, the court must do a permanent placement on custody determinations. This record had 2 custody evaluations. There were 2 child protection matters. There were 7 days of trial, several experts. There's nothing else that the court was waiting for. There was nothing more that was going to come before the court to change the court's mind or to bring some new information within that year. In fact, the court made a finding that mother was not going to change. Both experts said mother is not going to change. There is no reason that we didn't have a permanent placement. The idea that, and counsel has argued that we have a parenting consultant in place, and that's enough, that If there's a problem, they can always bring it to the parenting consultant. The parenting consultant's role is to work with the children under a custody determination or arrangement that is in the best interest of the children, right? Not to force a custody arrangement, not to be a band-aid approach for a custody arrangement that is not workable. What this is, without having a custody arrangement that is workable for these parties, they will continue to come back to this PC with every issue. And that argument is disingenuous because every single decision that the PC has made thus far that mom has not agreed with, she has challenged. And actually those challenges came before the trial court. And the trial court had to have an additional motion after the trial was concluded, and it was incorporated into the April 28th order. So I see that my time is almost up, Your Honors, but this is an important point. Mother is not going to follow the PC's decisions if she doesn't agree with them, and we will be right back in front of the trial court. All of this tees us up to come right back in front of the trial court, and these children need some stability. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you, Counsel. Counsel for respondent, you may approach, and when ready, identify yourself, and you may begin.
May it please the court, my name is John Burns, and I represent the respondent and cross-appellant, Danielle Dressel. As you're aware, after a lengthy divorce case, on October 2nd, 2020, the parties stipulated to an award of joint legal and joint physical custody with an equal parenting schedule. They also agreed to the appointment of an experienced parenting consultant to help them out with issues moving forward. When the party's daughter told her mom that dad was taking naked pictures of her, my client obtained first an order for protection, and then once CPS got involved, she voluntarily dismissed her order for protection and allowed that investigation to take place. When that investigation found that they weren't going to take any action, then we restored father's parenting time and agreed on a compensatory schedule. We thought the matter was completed. But dad instead brought a motion to change custody at that time, 3 months after he had stipulated to joint legal and joint physical custody in the 50-50 schedule. Incredibly, the court allowed in late affidavits for father and found that mother following up on daughter's allegation was not wrong, that she did everything right by letting the professionals do it, but that the court was suspicious of why daughter was making the report. And the judge at that point took the extreme action of going from an equal 50-50 arrangement for these parties to temporary sole legal and sole physical for father, and 12 hours of supervised parenting time for mother. And that's the artificial environment that was then created for the custody evaluator. Custody evaluator was appointed, and she took 8 months to complete her evaluation. Again, my client was supervised parenting time, completely artificial. Counsel has argued a lot about joint legal custody and why it's inappropriate and what is going to happen in the future and what might happen. But the best evidence in front of you is that these two parties with a long pending divorce case said we're going to reject Diane Reller's report, which recommends that dad should be asking for sole. We're going to reject that, and we know better. We know our kids better. And for 3 months, that's the totality of the time that they had their joint legal, joint physical, and 50-50 arrangement. For those 3 months, the parties utilized that, but there is not one shred of evidence that there was an endangerment during those 3 months.
Well, I think the district court found to the contrary on that, didn't it?
I don't believe they did. Here's what I'm referring to.
The district court did not make a finding of endangerment?
As to the only issue that arose post stipulation of the parties and before the court intervened is that report from the daughter that my client acted upon. And the first district court judge said, you did nothing wrong by doing that. The custody evaluator said that there was nothing wrong, that that was appropriate. The trial judge also said that that was appropriate. Even the appellant, when I cross-examined him, said, yes, she did the right thing. When daughter said that there was this kind of activity going on, that was the right move to take. So when I'm saying there was never a finding of endangerment, isolated to that period of time where you have the order and then you have to have a basis for the modification. There's no endangerment. Instead, we talk about this continuum of resist and refusal that, and you hear counsel making these predictions about what could happen or will happen or down the line something else might happen.
Well, won't that be resolved in a year anyway?
It would.
Based on the district courts?
It would, precisely. And as to the 1 year, I'd also point out that when the parties stipulated back in October of 2020 to saying they wanted a parenting consultant, they were going to have that parenting consultant look at everything again in a year as well.
So how did, if that's the case, then how did the district court abuse its discretion at all in this matter?
This court abused its discretion by finding that
district court.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Not you guys.
not yet, at least, hopefully.
Great question. The district court abused their discretion by finding that there had been a change of circumstances first, because as I've pointed out, that there was not a change of circumstances sufficient to satisfy the statute. And then there's not the endangerment either, because Dr. Harrington's report does not say that I find an endangerment. She says the behavior that she's witnessing is the same disagreement level between the parties that they had before the divorce.
But there's also testimony, and the district court made findings that this is going to get worse, and there's evidence that it will get worse, and to stop it from getting worse, that a change in custody is appropriate.
There was speculation to that effect.
But she credited it. I mean, she credited the expert testimony, and I mean, it's supportable by the record, so I don't know what mechanism there is for us to interfere with those findings.
The reason I took the time at the very beginning, Your Honor, to go over that procedural background is to point out again the 3 months that the parties had where they were operating under what they said was going to be the best order. And so there's no reverting back to, we had 3 months and during that time all of these heinous events occurred or all these problems arose. We created this artificial supervision. And yes, my client had to bring motions to, counsel brought up, had to appeal the parenting consultant, sure, to get time over Christmas and to get other things of that nature taken care of, absolutely we did. And
I'm not so disturbed by the 3 month period of time, because this is a contentious divorce. Everybody agrees that it was a contentious divorce. It's completely understandable that the parties want to put a stop to it and reach some sort of an agreement. And then something happens after that agreement is signed, and then one party gets buyer's remorse. I never should have entered into that agreement. I got to make a change right now for the benefit of these kids. I mean, it doesn't resonate with me that this 3 month period of time is somehow artificial or suspect or doesn't give rise to a reconsideration of the party's agreement.
I understand that, Your Honor. And my reason for pointing it out is that it never had a chance. That the parties said, we're going to try this. Then when the CPS investigation was completed, I think in a retaliatory action, a motion was brought. And here we are. You're right. Two years later, down the road, from that whole process. But what the parties had carved out was, we're going to have a 50-50 arrangement, and we're going to have a parenting consultant to help us. We're going to have a person boots on the ground and available to assist us. And that the parties said that's the protocol within which our history of not being able to work together, the appellant's abuse history, and the challenges it caused for my client to work with him, that would be easier with the parenting consultant. The parties compromised to do that. And because of that, I think that has to be given a level of efficacy from this court to say we're jumping ahead. We're almost treating this as if it's an establishment case when it has to be the modification. Because they're
and so let's look at what happened on the continuum going forward. So mom is challenging the decisions of the parenting consultant on an ongoing basis.
Some of them.
So isn't that a fair indicator to the district court that the original agreement between the parties is not an effective mechanism for the parties to continue to get along for the benefit of the children?
No, not at all, because of the artificial nature. Again, the parenting consultant said, I'm getting on board, I'm going to be ready to do some stuff, but the first district court judge had already created the 12 hours of supervised time, including a midweek visit that my client was supposed to drive an hour out of town, have a couple of hours, and drive back. There were all sorts of issues that were thrust upon a parenting consultant that the parties never would have contemplated under their 50-50 arrangement. And so the fact that the parenting consultant has had a lot of issues to deal with, I think, is more a symptom of the terrible temporary order that came out than really what the parties were expecting that person's role to be when they originally came up with that idea.
Mr. Burns, can I ask you about the joint custody conclusion and finding, legal custody I'm focusing on right
now
by the district court. As I read the order, when you first read the order, it really reads as if father's going to be granted relief in all ways. And I look at finding 99, given the record developed at the evidentiary hearing, the court will continue joint legal custody,
yes,
but award. And so a very conclusory and just in the one finding, best interest finding, that seems to best fit the legal custody is 12, the willingness of the ability of the parties to cooperate at the rearing of the children, to maximize sharing information, utilize methods for resolving disputes. And what the court finds is the parties use the OFW, I assume that's the wizard, the family wizard,
yes,
for communication, but petitioner has provided communication of court proceedings on Austin's iPad. This is dangerous and puts Austin in the middle of legal communications. The parties use the services of parenting consultant for dispute resolution. There wasn't anything affirmatively that I could read there is, well, what's the actual findings the court made that legal custody joint is in the best interest of the children?
Right.
And I noticed in your brief some of the areas, the findings you pointed out to seem to be more the physical. The parents can provide for the children. That seemed to be more the day-to-day. Can you point me to some finding a court made that was supported by the record that legal decisions, and I heard the concession that perhaps the court, the only one the court found was perhaps in the spiritual, where the parties could actually cooperate.
Right. Well, and so to answer that question, I would point out three things. One, that there is weight given to the agreement that the parties reached on legal custody and having joint legal custody.
But did the court, somewhere in its order, maybe I missed it, actually incorporate that agreement as why it's awarding?
I think the very first thing you said to me, Your Honor, was where the court is affirming. That means the court is, the way I read it, taking what the parties originally agreed to, that original decree, that's our order, affirming that is the way that I understood it, affirming the agreement, the presumption of joint legal custody, the agreement of the parties for joint legal, and finding number 99, which is that balancing. I've looked at it, I've listened, counsel's right, 7 days, a lot of evidence came in, a lot of opinions. The court said joint legal custody. Not that these parties are ever going to get along very well, but that they have methods in place to troubleshoot. And I heard one of the questions earlier that both parties bring to the table different strengths and skills that these kids need. And that that's an important factor that I think the court was trying to capture in the award of maintaining the joint legal custody.
So why is the district court, how did the district court abuse its discretion then? Because when I look at kind of the big picture here of what the district court did, the district court drew a distinction between legal custody and physical custody. And I think what we oftentimes see is those get blurred together. And as you, you know, heard my comments earlier, I draw a strong distinction between the two. And the district court did that here and said, I think there's enough evidence of endangerment and change of circumstances to modify custody. I'm going to give father sole physical custody.
Right.
But I'm going to keep in place the legal custody, because the legal custody involves decision making on the best interests of the children.
Right.
And oftentimes they're just lumped together. But here the district court, I think, carefully took that into account. So how is that an abuse of discretion on either end?
In our reply brief on page 4, I talk about the Dabill case, D-A-B-I-L-L. And I point out that while emotional harm can constitute endangerment, in this case there was no evidence of actual adverse effects.
Let me stop you there. The Sharp case also does highlight the fact that you can have, if you have testimony, and there was here, of a potential of risk of harm, that can also constitute endangerment as well.
It can. That is correct. And so I do analyze the different cases, and I compare them. And I show why on all fours we're on point with Dabill. That and it kind of takes away right back to my very original point of there is no endangerment specifically identified. Continuum could be, should be, might be. That's not evidence. And especially not evidence when the parties have told the court what they think is best. Combined with the lack of change of circumstances, we're asking that this court reverse the decision on physical custody and find that the joint legal custody was the appropriate finding for this court. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Counsel for respondent, you may approach, or appellant, excuse me, and begin your rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honors. Couple things that were brought up by respondent. First of all, respondent continually claims that there are other findings, and that one of the biggest findings that support a joint legal arrangement is that the weight that the court gave to the joint legal arrangement at the time of the decree. First of all, the only finding that brings up the fact that the parties had a joint legal custody arrangement at the time of the decree is finding number 34. And within that finding number 34, it's basically finding that mother's counsel reminded the court that the parties had agreed to a legal custody arrangement at the time of the decree. The fact is, just because the parties agreed to a joint legal custody arrangement at the time of the decree does not mean that the same behavior that they knew might happen, that problematic behavior by mom, that doesn't then cause a change of circumstance by the fact that mom continues that problematic behavior, continues to accuse dad of sexual and physical abuse, actually making the same accusations that she made in April of 2020, again, 2 months after the decree. So counsel is right. They didn't have a whole lot of time in that joint custody arrangement. Why? Because 2 months after the decree, before the PC was even on board, mother is accusing dad, father, of the exact same sexual and physical abuse that she accused him of in McLeod County. She then brings it to Dakota County. Both counties found that none of these were substantiated, and the child protection matters were dismissed. The other behavior is interfering with the therapist, coaching the children on what she wants the children to know about dad, coaching the children on how to see dad. All of these are findings within the court's order. The only finding about the weight of legal custody at the time of the decree is finding number 34. And right after that, finding number 35, the court says, regardless of the fact that the parties hoped that joint custody would work. Both evaluators were consistent in finding mom's behavior would get worse if not addressed. The court even cited Sharp, which said evidence of anticipated adverse effects of a custody arrangement is enough to find endangerment. Counsel wants to say that there's no endangerment. With all due respect, we've had two custody evaluators and the court itself find endangerment over and over. The difference with this case is that we have finding after finding and conclusion after conclusion, as the court brought up, indicating that sole legal custody and sole physical custody to father was appropriate. And then the court took a hard right at conclusion number 99 and said, but whether the court favors joint custody or not, I'm going to continue the joint custody arrangement without any justification, without any clarification, when the court says, based on the record. The record itself is clear. The record is 7 days of trial and 99 findings and conclusions that show that this case, more than any other case, needs to have sole legal and sole physical to father.
But don't we give discretion? And even under the statute, 518.18, isn't the district court given discretion, even if there are circumstances, a change of circumstances, whether to modify custody and to what extent to modify custody?
Correct.
Whether for both legal custody and physical custody?
Absolutely, Your Honor.
But if that's the case, why?
This court can reverse a trial court that's determinations are against logic and the record, the facts on the record. This court just did that in Kennedy, which is an unpublished case earlier this month, in which mother came and asked for the children to move, and the trial court said no. This court reversed that determination because, based on the record, and we have a voluminous record here, and based on the findings, that the court's determination was against logic and against the facts and the record itself. See, I have no more time. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, counsel. And thank you to both counsel. We appreciate your comments you made to us today and your briefing in the matter. We will now take the matter under advisement, issue an order within the 90-day period. You each have a good day.